بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I am in Groton, Connecticut, which is on Long Island Sound, and I'm actually walking next to the beach, and there's an airport on the other side of this strip of water. It is probably about 5 degrees or so, so it's quite cold, but very bracing and fresh, absolutely clean, beautiful air. Alhamdulillah. And there are poles in the water on which they tie down lobster pots. On those poles, and on top of the poles, on one of them is an osprey, on another pole is two cormorants. And as I look to my left, there is a piece of grass which is jutting out, and on that piece of grass is, or just off the piece of grass, is a grey heron, and waiting for the unsuspecting fish. They actually eat anything, including ducklings and frogs and little birds, and they're quite the predator. They look quite harmless, but they're not. There's a cormorant fishing just now right in front of me as well, and there's a small plane that is about to take off. The runway literally runs into the sea, or this piece of sea that is here. So there are buoys, or actually they look more like piles, on which they have lights to guide the planes flying in. So the landing and takeoff is, they have to fly over the water to land on the runway here. I am describing all of this, subhanAllah, in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for what He has created, and for giving us the opportunity to see it and enjoy it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We were talking about the approach of the Sahaba to the Quran, and I spoke to you about their way of immediately putting into practice what they hear and what they read. I am reminded, we spoke yesterday about the story of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. I want to talk to you about the story of the revelation of the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited alcohol. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Al-Khamru wal-Maisiru wal-Ansabu wal-Aslamu rijsum min amali shaitani fajtanibu. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He prohibited the drinking of alcohol, gambling, fortune-telling, casting of arrows. And Allah said that these are things which are rijsum min amali shaitan, and He said fajtanibu. Allah said these are filthy actions, they are the worst of the actions, of the actions of shaitan. So now, here we have an issue where we have actions of shaitan are, if something is said, this is shaitani, if you say this is the action of shaitan, that should be enough of a prohibition by itself. Because why would you need to be prohibited from an action which is the action of shaitan? What else would you do with regard to an action of shaitan, if not to stop doing it? And here Allah is not even stopping with that. Allah is saying, "Rijusum min awali shaitan." He said, even from the things that shaitan does, this is one of the worst. These are among the worst of those actions. And then Allah said, stay away from them. Fajtanibu. Today people like to say, when you say the alcohol is prohibited, they say, where is it written haram? I mean, this is the peak of ignorance. The peak of ignorance. So something which shaitan does, something which is being told to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even among the things that shaitan does, this is one of the worst. And you say, Allah did not say haram. So do it. And then you will discover why Allah said that this is rijsum min amali shaitan. Fajtanibu. Stay far away from this. Now, when this ayat was revealed, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, I was in my house, I had some guests, and I was pouring out alcohol for them. And he said, that is when we heard the munadi, the announcer, the caller of Rasulullah ﷺ, who came by and he announced this ayah. So this is what has been revealed. And Abu Hurairah says, I want you to picture this. Here is Abu Hurairah. I'm not sure whether he was left-handed or right-handed, but assuming he was right-handed like most people, he would have had the bottle of alcohol or the jug or the beaker or whatever he used in his right hand, and he would have had the glass in his left hand, and he would be pouring it. And at that time he gets this, he hears this message, Al-Khamru wal-Maisiru wal-Ansabu wal-Azlamu rijsum min amali shaitani fashtanibu. And Abu Hurairah says that I just moved my hand away so that the alcohol, the wine, dropped on the ground. He poured it on the ground. And then he emptied the beaker, he emptied the wine glass which he had in his hand also onto the ground. And then he said, obviously there were guests there with him, and he said, I was pouring wine for them. So some of them already had their glasses. He said, they turned them upside down, they threw the wine away on the ground. He said, to the extent that somebody would have taken a sip, the wine was in their mouth, they spat it out. They didn't take the last sip and, you know, I won't drink again. No, they spat it out. Now, this happened all over, all over Medina, where the Sahaba, when they heard this ayat, they threw away. Now, wine making was their industry. I mean, they used to make wine out of grapes, they made wine out of dates. So they threw all the wine away. And they would have had the wine in big jars and so on, where they keep it to mature. All of this, they poured it into the drains. And Abu Hurairah says that the drains of Medina that day, they flowed with the wine. Instead of water, the drains carried wine. And then he said that the Sahaba then smashed, they broke the wine vessels. They broke the wine vessels. Now, when Rasulullah ﷺ heard this, that they had broken the vessels and they had smashed the vessels, Nabi ﷺ called them, and they went to him and he said to them, why did you break the vessels? Because after all, the vessel is not impure by itself. I mean, you could have washed it and used it for some other purpose. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we did not wish to have anything there to remind us that we used to disobey Allah. My brothers and sisters, I want you to think about this amazing statement of the Sahaba, which illustrates for us their whole attitude towards the Kalam of Allah, and their whole attitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Now remember that they did this the moment the ayah was revealed, right? So here are people who, the moment the ayah of prohibition was revealed, they stopped doing the action. And then they are saying, we didn't want anything left to remind us that we used to disobey Allah. My question is, how were they disobeying Allah? Because the moment the order came, they obeyed it. So obviously, if the order comes at 10 a.m. on 20th of October, something that I did at 10 a.m. on 19th of October cannot be held to be something in contravention of the order, because the order was not there at the time. The order only came on the 20th of October. So on 19th of October, my action was not in contravention of the order. But the Sahaba didn't, I mean, it's not that they couldn't count. They didn't even take that chance. They didn't even want to be in that position. They said, if Allah has prohibited something, then obviously this thing was bad from the day the world began. This thing was bad from the day it was created. I mean, here is this alcohol, and alcohol has always been banned. It's just that today it has been banned for us, but always it has always been harmful. It has always been something which was evil. So they said that even though it was not banned for us, and so when we were using it, we weren't exactly breaking the law as such, but it doesn't matter. We still apologize, we still make istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we stop doing it, and we don't want to have anything to remind us that we even used to do this at some earlier point in time. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that think about this whole thing, that this is one aspect of it. The second aspect of it is, you know, if you look at the history of America, for example, in the 1930s, America decided to ban alcohol. And I think in one of my khutbas, I've given you the exact dates and so on, and the amount of money that was spent. All of this is there on Google. Just go look it up. So they decided to ban alcohol, which they said this is something which is evil, which destroys society, which destroys people, which is bad for health and so on. So they said, we are not going to permit the consumption of alcohol and the manufacture, storage, transportation of alcohol, all exactly as it is in Islam. They were not doing it for Islam, they were doing it just because it made good sense. So they did that. Now, what actually happened? After something like 13 years of prohibition and spending millions of dollars in law enforcement, thousands of people went to jail, alcohol bootlegging became big business, stills were smashed, all kinds of things happened, many people died because of the conflicts involved, and so on and so forth. Eventually, they repealed that law and they said, no, it is not banned any longer, because they said, we can't enforce it. And anyway, as always, when morality takes second place to profit, profit always wins. And in this case also, so it was. They said, well, you know, banning the alcohol means less revenue for the state. People are losing jobs, even though the people doing the jobs are doing, they are manufacturing a drug which destroys society. Now, what kind of job is that? It's like people working in cigarette companies, in tobacco companies. You are doing a job which is destroying people, which is destroying the health of people, and you think it is a job and you like to do that job. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. But that is, as I said, you know, this is the problem with where morality takes second place to. I'm seeing a cormorant which has just caught a fish and he's in the water and he's trying to swallow the fish. It looks like a pretty big fish, so he's having some trouble. Amazing, subhanAllah. So when that job takes, you know, when profit takes second place to morality, this is what happens. It looks like a catfish or something. I can't make out anyway. Starting to slightly to rain, so I'm going to start walking backwards. Back into the house. This is the thing that we look at. So this is what happened as far as the morality is concerned. Second thing is that think about alcohol. So we said here is what happened in America, but in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, think about that. He didn't spend a single cent. Not a single person was arrested. No police, no jails, no nothing, and yet alcohol consumption just stopped. Now ask yourself, why would that happen? And that happened because people had already, their hearts had submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Samana wa atana ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. This was their position. They said, we belong to Allah, we go back to Allah, and therefore we hear and we obey. We don't argue. We hear and we obey because we know that what our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu wants for us is the best for us. And so they do that. Now the thing to understand is that this is the beauty of obedience. And if you have obedience, then you find that you don't need force. Enforcement is required only where the heart is not submitted. And enforcement doesn't work, as we see in this case, in the case of prohibition of alcohol in America, as we have seen in more recent times in different places. In Saudi Arabia, for example, there is they have now permitted pop shows and music programs and so on and so forth. These pop artists coming and singing. Now, people criticize this and they say, well, you know, this is the Saudi government's fault and they should not have done that and so on and so forth. So I say, well, you know, I'm not saying it is that the Saudi government did a great thing, but my point is, did people go to those shows or not? I said, oh, but the place was full. So I said, then why are you blaming the government? Because if you are so pious, the government didn't force you to go there. The government only opened a show place and you went there. So then why do you blame the government? So the issue really is yourself and your own heart. If something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, if you go and do and then you blame somebody else and say, well, you know, I am only drinking alcohol here because you have a bar, that is nonsense. Because you are drinking alcohol because you want to drink alcohol. Nothing to do with the bar. Second thing I want to ask you is this. Alcohol is a drug. And alcohol addiction, we know, look up Alcoholics Anonymous. They tell you that alcoholic addiction cannot be cured. They say all that we can do is to help the person break the habit and then advise the person to stay away from it as long as he can. And they say that please understand that if you go back to the bottle even once, you are back in the addiction. It is as lethal as that. So they say even if it is one day, never go near the bottle again. Because if you start, if you have just one single drink, if somebody says, we'll just have one drink, you know, we are proposing this toast or something and just have one drink, you are finished. Now, something as lethal as that, something which is so addictive, it is addictive today, it was addictive even then. How did people just leave it? There were no de-addiction clinics, there was no Alcoholics Anonymous. People just left it. How did they do that? And these people who were alcoholics because they drank alcohol all their lives until this ayat was revealed and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited it. That's the reason why alcohol was prohibited also in stages, as we know, in three different stages. The ayat which I recited for you is the qat'i final prohibition. But when that happened, people obeyed. People obeyed, people stopped drinking, and alcoholism was no longer a problem. My brothers and sisters, it all boils down to one simple thing, which is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And that comes from khashyatullah in the heart. It comes from knowing the value of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes from understanding the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand His deen and to be able to do this, to bring this khashyat into our own hearts so that we become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as were the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.